We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Very first words out of Jesus' mouth when his public ministry begins, repent, the kingdom of God is near. What's he talking about, the kingdom of God? What does that mean? What do you picture when you picture the kingdom of God? What do evangelicals, what is that vast swath of pop American Christianity, what do they think of when they hear the term kingdom of God? You think about a king. Who is that king? We're going to be talking about that very subject, the kingdom of God, in Apostle Bill Johnson's teachings on This Week in Pop American Christianity on this Friday, September the 1st. Joining us to do so, Pastor Chris Roseborough. He's a regular guest, pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
Is the kingdom of God a teaching that evangelicals often get wrong?
I would say that it is a teaching that Americans generally get wrong, and this is going to include evangelicals as well as Lutherans. We don't do a very good job of understanding kingdom concepts, in part because we live in a 21st century Western republic. And as a result of it, there's a lot of vagaries. If you were to ask people, in fact, I actually did this maybe about 7-8 months ago. I conducted a very extensive survey of the audience of Fighting for the Faith and their views regarding the kingdom of God. And the only thing that was consistent in the over 800 responses we got was that there was no consistent understanding of what the Bible talks about and what it means in regards to the kingdom. And as a result of that, within the charismatic wing of evangelicalism, and especially the New Apostolic Reformation, there are some very, very dangerous teachings as it relates to the kingdom of God. In fact, so much so, they make a difference between, a distinction between the gospel of salvation, as they call it, as opposed to the gospel of the kingdom, which they say is a completely different thing altogether and requires us to, the gospel of the kingdom mandates, there's a mandate and a requirement for us to operate in the supernatural. If we're not doing so, then we're doing something wrong in their way of viewing things.
Reintroduce us to Apostle Bill Johnson and what are we going to hear from him with respect to the kingdom of God?
All right, so we're going to be listening to Apostle, and you have to put that in air quotes, Apostle Bill Johnson. He is a head of a major apostolic network that is headquartered in his church, and it's a very famous church in the charismatic movement, Bethel Church in Redding, California. And we're going to be listening to three sound bites that kind of build on each other, if you would. And so the first sound bite is going to address a vital component of their understanding of the kingdom of God, and that's how we are to look at Jesus and how he performed the miracles that he did. And we're going to be listening to, in this first soundbite, and it's important that we know where he is speaking these things. These sound bites are from a lecture that he gave at Hillsong Church in London. And it's important for people, your listeners, to understand that Hillsong is involved with the New Apostolic Reformation. There's just no way around it. They embrace these teachings, but they do a very good job of trying to hide that, although lately they've been talking about it more openly. So we're going to listen to him at his speech that he gave at Hillsong in London, and it begins, their understanding of the gospel of the kingdom begins with a false Christology, and we'll have to unpack that as each of these sound bites build on each other.
I'm fascinated by Jesus, which is obviously the greatest understatement ever, but I'm fascinated by his lifestyle of incredible compassion, his lifestyle of miracles. I'm rocked by the fact that all the miracles that he actually did as a human being that was submitted to the Father. That's important to recognize. Jesus made the statement several times in the Gospel of John. He said, "The Son of Man can do nothing of himself." He would say, "I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say." Now, if Jesus did all the miracles that he did as God, we're still impressed, but we're reduced to spectators. We watch the healing of the blind, the resurrection of the dead, the walking on water, multiplying food, all those things. But we stand back and we applaud. We're supporters, cheerleaders of the miraculous that God alone can do. But when I discovered that he did the miracles as a man yielded to God, then suddenly I'm no longer content to stay where I'm at. I realize that he actually set an example that must be followed. I cannot hear it, I cannot see it, and then do nothing. And the crazy thing about this life of ours is we've been assigned to invade the miraculous. That's who you are. The Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us, and he wants out. He's in us as a river, not a lake. He's not just there to hang out. He's actually there to flow through us, to alter the geography around us. He's there to make impact on the course of history. And to do that, we have to be involved in seeing what the Father's doing, hearing what the Father is saying. So Jesus gave us an example that can and must be followed. He declared over us, "Greater works than these shall you do." That wasn't a nice feel-good statement. He wasn't trying to bolster the emotional condition of the troops. He was prophesying his intention that there would be a generation that was yet to come that would actually surpass his demonstration of power.
All right, Chris, what was he saying there?
All right, a little bit tough to unpack, and I apologize. This is some pretty nuanced theology. But you're going to note that he basically claimed that Jesus performed all of the miracles that he performed as a man yielded to the Father. And as a result of that, he has set an example that must be followed, including his miracle working. Now, to kind of back up a little bit here, this is a false Christology and an extremely dangerous Christology. And it's akin to the Nestorian heresy that makes a distinction between Christ's deity and Christ's humanity in such a way that you can sit there and say, well, he did that because that was his deity at work, or he did that because it was his humanity at work. And let's be blunt. The ancient Orthodox understanding of Christ as the God-man, and if you're not sure how this works, I would point people immediately to the Athanasian Creed regarding Christ's incarnation, make it impossible to make the distinction that he made. Jesus did everything that he did as the God-man. And to sit here and say he did it as a man yielded to God is an extremely dangerous thing, because now Jesus is no longer the God-man. He is just an example of what it looks like when somebody yields themselves perfectly in submission to God and the miraculous that they're capable of performing. But this is a pinnacle, and I mean foundational, part of the charismatic and New Apostolic Reformation's understanding of the gospel of the kingdom. Step one, you must understand that Jesus did everything he did as an example that we must follow. Therefore, we must follow in the miraculous. And you'll note then that he said that Jesus was prophesying when he said, "Greater works will you do than I have done." He said that that was a prophecy of Jesus regarding a future generation that's going to come up. And this is a vital part of the New Apostolic Reformation as well. They believe that there is an upcoming generation of Christians who are going to be so yielded to God, the Holy Spirit, that operating in the miraculous will be as natural for them as breathing is for you and I. And so they refer to that coming generation of Christians as the new breed, or as Joel's army. It's kind of like Christianity 2.0. And you know, they're trying to basically say that this new breed is already on the earth, and that we need to be prepared for them to show up in mass, and that they're going to be responsible for a billion souls harvest. So in the New Apostolic Reformation, their understanding of the kingdom, step number one, false Christology, that turns Jesus into an example of what's possible when we yield ourselves to God.
I would note there that this has some affinity with the word faith teaching, where they teach that Jesus died as an ordinary man, that when he emptied himself, they say literally, of his divinity, and that he went to hell and suffered as an ordinary man, again, bereft entirely of his divine nature, and then rose again as an ordinary man. And it's all toward the thing that now you can do this too.
Yeah, no, I mean, let's be perfectly clear on this. When you have a false Christ, it puts you outside of the Christian faith. Scripture is very clear that somebody who has a false gospel or a false Jesus ceases to be a Christian, and they are a heretic in the truest sense. And you're going to note, go back into church history, there were major theological battles and fights and church councils that had to convene in order to address biblically who Jesus was and who he wasn't. And this false Christology, it's a canonic Christology that somehow Jesus performed all these things as a man. This is not conducive with the Orthodox distinctions that we embrace regarding the genus majestaticum and other things in relation to Christ as the God-man. And again, the Athanasian Creed, in its segment that deals with the incarnation of Christ, makes this perfectly clear. There was no miracle that Jesus performed merely as a human. Everything that Jesus did, he did as the God-man, and the miracles he performed as the God-man. And when you make a distinction the way he's making them, you're now into territory that puts you outside of the Christian faith.
What's next, Chris?
So now that Jesus is example, the question comes up, you know, in their doctrine of the kingdom, what's the implication for us as Christians? I'll let Bill Johnson explain.
He has put the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead inside of me, and all of heaven now waits to see what impossibility I will invade in his name. He's looking to see, what will I do with what I've been given? I've been given that which knows no impossibility. In fact, think of it this way. We know that God described himself in Scripture as, he said, and nothing will be impossible with God. Interesting, that's quoted in Luke chapter 2, I believe it is, in the dialogue about the virgin birth. And there's this statement, nothing will be impossible with God. If you look at the original language, one of my favorite people in the United States is a wonderful man named Jack Taylor. And he shared a word study with us once on that verse, nothing shall be impossible with God. The word nothing is actually two words. It's the word no, and the word thing is actually the word rhema. So it's no freshly spoken word of God will be impossible. And then the word impossible means without ability. So it actually can be translated like this. No freshly spoken word of God will ever come to you that does not carry its own ability to perform itself. That's amazing. No freshly spoken word of God will ever come to you that does not carry its own ability to perform itself. So God describes himself as the one who knows nothing to be impossible. But then he wanted to give his own children, those created in his image, those who received the sacrifice of his son unto salvation, he wanted to give them access to a realm that only he knows. Everything is finite. Everything is limited that God created. But then he said, nothing is impossible for those who believe. So here's this realm that only God knows. And then he says, I want you to know what this realm is like. There's nothing impossible for those who believe. We actually have not only access, we have responsibility to address the impossibilities of life.
Well, Chris, a quick lesson in how knowing little or no Greek can obviously get you in deep, deep exegetical trouble.
Yeah, and you'll note, so the text in question is actually in Luke chapter 1, not 2, and it is in relation to the virgin birth, for nothing will be impossible with God. Now, hati uk aduna tese. So the word in question is aduna teo, which basically means no power. It's ah and dunamai put together. No power. So his so-called word study was false. What he said was just patently false. And if you know Greek, you can discover that. But what he ended up doing was basically, you know, through his so-called word study. And you notice with Bill Johnson, we covered this the last time we discussed him. He engages in a lot of word play where, you know, he starts with a word, plays with the word, redefines the word, and then misapplies his new definition of the word. And so no, the scripture in question is not saying that no fresh word from God is going to be impossible for you. That's what he claims it meant, and that's not what it means at all. Just that nothing will be impossible for God in relation to the answer to the question regarding how will Mary be pregnant since she hasn't known a man. And so what he's doing there is just complete obfuscation. So, but the implications then are, second part of their doctrine of the kingdom, now that we've set up Jesus as an example, now it's whatever fresh word you claim that you're hearing from God, whatever impossible circumstance you find yourself in, no fresh word from God will be impossible for you, he claims is the what the Bible is teaching. Therefore, what impossible situation do you find yourself in that you are supposed to invade with the miraculous and the supernatural? Because after all, Jesus is the perfect example of what that means to live a life of the supernatural yielded to God and doing the impossible. So you got to be doing that too. And so then the gospel of the kingdom then hinges on all of this. So it's all kind of building off this idea. So my question for you immediately, Todd, is how many impossible situations have you invaded with the supernatural in your life? It's a very key component to the right understanding of the kingdom, at least the way the apostle Bill Johnson thinks.
I'm not doing very well. When we come back from this break, Pastor Chris Rosebro will explain a little more of Apostle Bill Johnson's teaching on the kingdom of God. It isn't looking good so far. Stay tuned.
I think every man, every Christian should consider, at least, the possibility of God calling him into the holy ministry.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because that's the way that God has designed for faith in Christ Jesus to be spread, for the gift of eternal life that Christ Jesus earned by his death and resurrection to be shared with people. By the washing of baptism for infants and for adults, for the instruction, the proclamation of the word that happens on a nonstop basis in God's kingdom, God uses people, he uses men to be those proclaimers, to be those men who share the sacraments.
If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their phone number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu.
The cross is always relevant. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
If you're like me, you remember when education was about the basic skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and about reading great literature and history that gave our kids models of what it is to be a good person. Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum is bringing this kind of education back. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity today. Apostle Bill Johnson's Kingdom of God teachings. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. What is next from Bill Johnson, Chris?
All right, next we're going to start to hear clear kingdom teaching regarding the kingdom of God and what that means as far as what you are supposed to be doing, at least according to Apostle Bill Johnson.
And so we've been invited into this relationship that has responsibility. And the responsibility is to seek first, number one, the kingdom of God. Kingdom can be described like this. Kingdom, king's domain. The kingdom of God is actually the realm of God's dominion. It's not heaven. It's not a place where you go. It's actually the reality of his rulership that becomes manifest over specific situations in life. So Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that we're praying to go to heaven. My job is not to get to heaven. His job is to get me there. My job is to bring heaven here. We can't afford to mix up our destiny with our responsibility. Our destiny is, that's where I'm going. My responsibility is through prayer. Jesus shows us how. Pray in this way, our Father on earth as it is in heaven. He says, pray in this way. The assignment is to bring the reality of God's dominion into the specific circumstances of life. So you're at work. It's at work. Well, guess what? There's no chaos in heaven. So guess what your responsibility is? The responsibility isn't to quit because you don't like it. The responsibility isn't to move to where there's just Christians that you work with. The responsibility is, through prayer, take possession of those powers that seem to work at the harmony God designed for that business. In prayer, deal with the issues at hand. Paul talked about taking every thought captive. Once you've taken your own thoughts captive, you get to influence the thought patterns of people around you.
All right, Chris, take that apart for us, if you would.
So you'll note here, he references Jesus's prayer that he gives us, the Lord's Prayer, and we pray, you know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so the idea here is we have a mandate, a miraculous mandate to do the impossible. And so wherever we identify things that don't exist in heaven, we must miraculously invade in order to bring the peace that apparently the kingdom is there. So there's no chaos in heaven. There's no cancer in heaven. There's no poverty in heaven. There's a lot of things that don't exist in heaven that exist here on earth. And therefore, the gospel of the kingdom is us as Christians miraculously invading these impossible situations and bringing to an end the things that exist here that don't exist in heaven. And by doing so, we are flexing the kingdom realm and bringing heaven to earth. That's the kingdom mandate according to the New Apostolic Reformation.
So he has really taken a very zigzag path toward saying essentially what kind of, I'm sure you knew he was going to say in the first place, right? That somehow we have an example in Jesus of how we can carry out miracles. All I'd want to know is, here he is at, what, Hillsong London. It's a big church, probably one of the larger churches in all of Great Britain, and probably one of the only ones with any people in it. Do a miracle, Bill Johnson. Just show us that you can do what you say. You and we can do. Why not?
What's really funny is they don't ever perform miracles, but they tell stories about how they perform miracles. And everyone just takes that at face value and says, that's enough proof for me. He says he did it. It's got to be true because he's a pastor. Therefore, it must have happened. And yet over and again, the stories that they tell of the miraculous are, you know, tall tales with sketchy details and little or no proof at all. So, you know, you're asking for them to perform a miracle. All he has to do is tell a tall tale, and that's just enough that everyone will believe him anyway.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. You can listen to Fighting for the Faith right after the live broadcast of Issues, Etc. at 5 Central at piratechristian.com, piratechristian.com. Chris, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
In hour two of Issues, Etc. on this Friday, September the 1st, Pastor David Peterson joins us. We're going to be looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the one-year lectionary. The gospel reading for this coming Sunday, Jesus healing the deaf and mute man. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.